Oh, good evening, everyone. My name is Steve Wilson. I'm with the Paducah Sun, and I will be co-moderating this with Matt Markgraf of WKMS. He is the news director there. And we hope this session will be informative and interesting. We hope to keep it to right around 90 minutes. We might go a little longer if the candidates insist, but we hope it won't go much longer than that. The format is we're going to ask the same question to all of the candidates, and then we'll simply go down the row. We'll change the beginning point in each question so that we don't have the same person going first all the time. But we will have just 2 minutes for opening statements by each candidate, and then for each question, we will allow 1 minute. And if there is any rebuttal, we'll give somebody 30 seconds if they put their hand up and say they want to say something else. And I'll let Mark now explain a couple of the details else of how this thing is going to operate.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, and thank you to everyone who's come out tonight. Thank you to all of the candidates for joining us tonight as well. And thank you to everyone watching on Facebook Live on WKMS Facebook page as well. Also, we are recording the conversation tonight, and we'll be broadcasting it on WKMS at a later date, probably early next week sometime as well. So you can hear it there, and we'll also have it online at WKMS.org and, I assume, on Paducah Sun's website as well. Just a couple more things on the technicals. You mentioned the time. The timekeeper is over there. Thank you to Kelly for running the time. She has it pulled up to 2 minutes right now for opening statements. As the timer runs down and the clock is almost finished, it'll start blinking. Believe me, you'll see the blinking. And so when you see it blinking, please wrap up your statement, and let's try to be mindful of everyone's time here as well. So we can keep this moving along at a good clip. The microphones, try to avoid picking them up and talking. They should be at such a level where they'll pick you up where you're sitting so you can just relax and speak comfortably, okay? Do you have any other questions? Anyone have any questions? Okay, great. Well, without further ado, let's begin. The theme tonight is guiding a changing Paducah, and so.
So we're going to ask each candidate now to give us an opening statement. We want you to tell us who you are and why the voters should elect you. We'll begin with Brandy Harless.
Great. Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you all so much for being here tonight. This morning we had the Chamber Forum, and I said it then and I'll say it now. I have been so amazed at the interest of this local race. I think it says a lot about our community that we're all engaged and ready to see Paducah really live up to its potential. Now, I'm running for mayor for a lot of reasons, not because of my disrespect for anyone that has led before me, but because Paducah really is at a tipping point. We're at a point in our community where we have to make decisions, and that it requires a different skill set to really take us to that next level of Paducah. And I know that I have that skill set. I went to Vanderbilt University and Boston University for grad school. I've had the opportunity to have a lot of executive leadership opportunities, and I know that those opportunities have really allowed me to have the skill set to take Paducah into the next generation. One of my main concerns is the economic opportunity and the fiscal responsibility that our leaders are carrying. Those things are very important to me, and I want to make sure that we're making the right decisions moving forward so that we can build on the foundation that we've created and that leaders before me have created. But, you know, it's really time for the next generation to step up and lead Paducah, and I look forward to doing that. And so thank you all so much for being here tonight, and thank you guys for hosting this.
Good evening. I'm Gail Kaler. I'm mayor of Paducah, and I serve six two-year terms as commissioner, and I've served my first term as mayor in Paducah. I'm running for re-election because I feel like the experience that I have within the community, within the leadership of Paducah, enables me to make sound decisions for the future of Paducah. We have a lot of things coming our way in the next 4 years. We have a lot of opportunities coming our way, both economic and socially. So we need that experienced leadership that I can provide the city of Paducah. We've done many things in Paducah since I've been mayor. We've had $60 million right now in commercial development within the city. We've got another $60 million in the pipeline for development here within the city of Paducah. We've had a tremendous influx of development within the downtown area. We've had $3.3 million in development downtown. So I want to continue that progress that we are making today and to take Paducah to the next level also, because I think that we have a tremendous opportunity in Paducah. We're just ripe to bloom in Paducah right now. We have a lot of young people that have moved in Paducah since I've been mayor. We have an 8% increase in 25 to 35-year-olds that live in the city of Paducah. And everybody knows that for us to grow, we do have to have the young people engaged, and I've worked really hard for that engagement with the young people. We also need our older generations for the wisdom and for the experience. So the combination of the two will make it perfect.
Richard.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to come and talk to you about something that I'm extremely passionate about, and that is our city. I've been fortunate enough to gain the trust of the citizens of the city to serve several terms. We have tremendous assets here in the city. We have great partnerships in getting things done. A municipal in itself can't do everything, and that's why you need partners to come in. And first thing off my head is I go across the state sometimes and I talk to folks and what's going on in Paducah? And whenever I mention the community scholarship program, it blows them away. And they're like, how did you guys do that? I said, well, it doesn't really matter what side of the aisle you're on. Everybody in the room agrees that education is a tremendous stepping stone to change a person's life. So we agree on that and then we move on. Now, some other things we may debate and talk about, that's one everybody can agree on. We have a lot of that in Paducah. You're always going to get disagreements on things, but that's okay. That's okay. That's part of it. I'm honored to be here, and I look forward to serving another 2 years if I am elected on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Frank Bennett, and I'm running for City Commission. As I was getting ready for tonight, I got to thinking about the wonderful Rotary Playground project that so many of us were involved with. Basically, in that project, 1,600 people who were passionate about Paducah came together and built a wonderful park that now thousands of people are using, and I was one of the people who volunteered for that. And one of the days I was working on it, the person who led my group was an actual professional carpenter. And he was actually on his fifth day helping the project. I overheard somebody ask him why he had committed so many volunteer hours to this project, in which he simply said, because I'm a carpenter, and they needed a carpenter. We have so many things to be proud of in Paducah. There is so many wonderful things going on here right now. But for us to get to the next tier where we want to go, at the city level, right now, we need leaders that have experience in business leadership and economic development. As most of you know, I'm the CEO of the National Quilt Museum. Before that, I worked for 2 years in economic development for Sage Fundraising Solutions. I've written a leadership book that sold about 2,000 copies called The Breathing Organization, and I've been a leader in several other organizations. Now that you know my experience, let me tell you what I'm going to do. My campaign is really just about three things. First, looking at how we spend taxpayer dollars and more efficiently spending taxpayer dollars. Second, taking a deeper look at how we're doing economic growth and how we can do it better. And third, treating this entire community as one community in which every voice matters, because that is the only way we're all going to grow together. My name is Frank Bennett, and I need your vote on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Steve, and thank you both for hosting this forum tonight. I have the dubious distinction of being the oldest commissioner candidate on this table, and almost the oldest candidate on sitting at the table. But if I go back and think about my time in Paducah, I'm a long-term Kentuckian. I'm a Paducan, and I've lived here for most of my 67 years. I'm a graduate of Paducah Tillman. My children are graduates of Paducah Tillman. My grandchildren will be graduates of Paducah Tillman, so we have a long vested interest in this community. I practiced law with Whitlow Roberts, Houston and Stroud for 20 years, and then retired, and my second avocation has been, I was following my bliss, which is education and preservation and the arts, and I went on to take an old building, the old Elks Lodge in downtown Paducah, and started it from scratch, the way I do most of my ideas, and 5 years later, it's a nice little business. Why did I put my hat in the ring here? It's because when I look back at what I have done in the areas of education, preservation, and the arts, I have had foresight that none of the folks here have had. I had the foresight to draft the historic zoning ordinance to protect Lower Town before anybody knew that Lower Town needed protecting. Nobody cared. I had the foresight in the mid-1980s to advocate for higher educational delivery with the 2+2 program, and we're sitting in the building that is a result of that. The other building that's a result of that is the UK College of Engineering. I can go on, but my time is out, and I have a lot to say. More than 2 minutes.
Thank you, and good evening to all of you, and we certainly do, as the other candidates have already stated, appreciate your hosting this forum. My name is Ronaldo Henderson, and I am originally from Chicago, Illinois. I have been in the city of Paducah for 24 years, coming from, obviously, Chicago. My wife and I have been married for 28 years, and we have three adult children, and so it has been a joy to raise our children here in the city of Paducah. Came to Paducah to pastor Washington Street Church, and have done so now for 24 years. We are the oldest congregation, the oldest African-American congregation in all of Western Kentucky. I'm not just a novice in terms of serving, because I have been serving even before now. I've served from the Foster Care Review Board to the Lourdes Ethics Board to the Paducah Housing Authority Board. So therefore, I do bring a host of skills and gifts and talents and wisdom to the table. I'm not the oldest, and I'm not the youngest, but I do consider myself to be a tomorrow thinker. And I think that's what we need, people who can think about tomorrow and who can bring those gifts and skills and make Paducah better than it is right now. And as everybody else, I have a whole lot of things I'd like to say, and we'll try to get them stated in our time allotted. So thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you to WKMS and the Paducah Sun, and for everybody in the room for coming tonight to the forum. Before I introduce myself, I wanted to take a moment and share my condolences with the Newberry family. I've known that family my whole life, and they're the best people, and I'm so sorry for the loss of our former judge executive, Van Newberry. My name is Sarah Holland, and I am a fifth-generation Paducah native. I was born and raised here. I went to college at Transylvania University and received my law degree from the Washington College of Law. And I moved back here in 2009 before the birth of my first son because I could not imagine raising my family anywhere else. I also couldn't imagine that 7 years later I'd be the mother of not one, not two, but three boys. But here we are. And the past years have not only been a time of excitement and growth for my own family, but really a time of growth for Paducah. I'm running for city commission because I'd like to see that growth continue. And I believe it's time, like Brandy said, for the next generation of leadership in Paducah. And I want to help make that happen. My work is in digital marketing, and so I've spent a lot of time over the last few years working with small businesses and helping them adapt to our changing economy and listening to their concerns about their relationship with the city of Paducah and how we could address those problems. I've volunteered with the Charity League of Paducah, the Oscar Cross Boys and Girls Club, and it's helped me understand the needs of Paducah's most neglected neighborhoods and citizens. And my work as a mother has helped me understand that every family in Paducah wants what I want for my boys, which is for their children to succeed and for at least one of them to move back and take care of me. So I pledge to bring all that experience to the city commission and a passion for Paducah that is untouched. And I'm asking for your vote on November 8th.
My name is Eddie Jones. I have a degree in public administration, and I am a lawyer at Bellstofer & Graves, which is a local firm here. I, with the other partners at Bellstofer & Graves, basically manage a small business that employs 15 people. We together own three historic but old buildings in Lower Town Paducah, so I have some real-time experience with maintaining three of your historic buildings. I understand what it means to cross your fingers when it's raining really hard and hope you've done a good job with the roof. My most important job in Paducah is that I'm father to what used to be a little girl, Allison. She's now 15. She's not little anymore. She attended Clark Elementary School, Paducah Middle, and tonight is playing her last home game at Paducah Tillman on the volleyball team. So I'm kind of a right-to-it kind of guy. What do you get if you vote for me? Yeah, here's what you get. I'm a fix-the-canopy guy. We've got a problem with our city hall. We wrote a lot about that last year and early part of this year. I'm a guy that wants to fix the canopy. Somebody else, well, what are you going to do about city hall? Well, I'm going to fix the canopy. And after we fix the canopy, if we fix the canopy, we scratch our heads, we look at it, and we do the next right thing. That's what you do with historic old buildings. So I'm a fix the canopy guy. Number two, I'm the guy that keeps peppering your doorsteps with material about rethink and repower, rethink and retool Paducah Power, our relationship with Paducah Power. There was a statutory change in 2014 that I think opens up that possibility. I hope to get a chance to talk about that some more. And then I'm the bikeable, walkable guy. I keep annoying you on Facebook with bikeable, walkable posts. I believe I have a vision for a Paducah seizing its uniqueness as a small city to create a campus-like city that is connected with bikeable, safe routes. Thank you.
Well, thank you to the Paducah Sun and WKMS and all of you for being here. I'm Sandra Wilson. And this is very special to me to be in this building tonight for this forum, the Paducah Murray State Campus, because this is what inspired me to run for office 4 years ago. I was appointed to serve on a Murray State task force to determine how they could better serve Paducah. And our task force determined that a new campus here in Paducah was the right way to go. And I was part of a small group that lobbied the McCracken County Fiscal Court, the Paducah City Commission, and the Murray State Board of Regents to get that approval and to make this happen. In light of what happened today with the loss of former McCracken County Judge Van Newberry, I want to share with you that he was the first one that our core group went to meet with to ask for his support for local funding for this campus. He went with us, as well as others in this community, to Owensboro to look at the campus that Western Kentucky University had built in Owensboro and to see how it was working. Following that visit, he was all in, and he said McCracken County will take the lead in providing the funding to build a Murray State campus in Paducah, to build our lives better, to strengthen our education. So I would ask that our thoughts and prayers, as Sarah said, be with those families involved in this tragedy today. I had a lot of other thoughts that I was going to share about these past 4 years and our future, but I'm just going to conclude with saying that I'm grateful for these opportunities that I've had as a community activist and as the city commissioner these past 4 years. I have seen firsthand the progress that can be done when we work together and are united and asking and fighting for our priorities and not worrying about who's taking the credit. Our city and community have made some great progress these past 4 years, and we are ready for the future. I'm passionate about this community and ask for your support.
Thank you all. And I should also mention that Alan Rhodes is also a candidate for our city commission and was unable to make tonight's forum due to a prior out-of-town engagement. So, let's move on to standard questions. The response time for these is 1 minute. Let's begin with Mayor Kaler, and just like Steve mentioned, we're going to stagger the answers with each question so everyone gets a chance to go first and last. Okay, so the first question will be, what do you think is the biggest need or needs facing Paducah today?
I'm
would say the biggest need that we have in the city of Paducah is workforce development, because we truly don't have enough people to fill the jobs that are available even in Paducah. Are the economic development pieces that are brought to Paducah, many of them don't, they decide not to stay here. We get cut at the last minute because we don't have enough people to fill those jobs. So that's something we've got to really work on. I mean, when you walk around Paducah or drive around Paducah, you see help wanted signs everywhere. There are jobs out there. We just don't have enough people to fill those jobs. Even our high-paying jobs are difficult to fill. I was talking with Helen Sims at Superior Care Nursing Home. She cannot get RNs or LPNs at her nursing home, which and assisted living, which is a beautiful facility. She pays 30 to, am I through?
Yes, thank you.
Anyway.
Mr. Abraham.
I have a question before you start the clock. The clock starts when we start talking, correct?
Yes.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Jobs is always on at the top of that list. Developing a skill set to take care of the job that's available. The mayor mentioned that sometimes we make a short list, but we don't bring it home. Western Kentucky Technical College has a seat at the table now, because we have the skill set here. If we have industry that's thinking about coming to Paducah, and they need a particular skill set, we have the skills and individuals here on this campus to put together a program to address those needs. It hasn't always been that way, but we have that as a tool in the belt. So, you know, we have students graduating high school. You don't necessarily have to go to college. That's great. But you can go to work through a trade. So I think jobs is the number one, and developing the skill set to handle the industry that comes in.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, it's really two things. First of all, we need new perspectives. A lot of times when you have a lot of people in, which is what we have right now, who are talking about the same things for years, you can't see the forest through the trees. I think there's two things that we really need. We need new perspectives from people from the outside. We also need to get into a culture in which everybody feels like there are no sacred cows and we can actually challenge anything. One of the things we do at the Quilt Museum, for example, 3 years ago, we had our best year in 25 years. We had 10% growth. It was phenomenal. And the day I came in January, I said, okay, let's look at everything we did with no ego and ask ourselves if it can be done differently now and consider everything from scratch like it never happened. Those are the two things that need to happen at the city level right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Gwynn.
And I would agree with most of the folks that have spoken thus far that the economic situation has never been quite the same since USEC was closed. I think we have lots of opportunities to address some opportunities, particularly with the foreign trade zone and with the educational process that has been put in place between the city schools and the WKCTC board, which I have been a 28-year member of. That board has, under Barbara Beasy's leadership, has developed a workforce development program that is part of the reason why we got the Aspen Award. The secondary schools are also trying to fill the need for trained and skilled workers, and using the Commonwealth Scholarship Program to do that. So there's some things in place that we can take advantage of. We just have not done it yet as a community.
Reverend Henderson.
Well, I agree with everything that has been said. We do need jobs, absolutely. We need a skill set development. But let me say something I think that may not be necessarily popular, and it's this. I think one of the greatest needs that we have in this community is to have a government that is inclusive. That's what we need. We got to have jobs. We have to have development. But we also need to be a people
who listens and understands the needs of this city. I don't in any way mean to be negative, but the reality is, or the perception is that there's a great disconnect right now from the citizens of Paducah and the government. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what they need to do. They don't understand what's happening here, what's going on there. We need to have some type of connect.
Mr. Frampton asked me earlier, I told him that I'd knocked on about 3,500 doors across the city over the last few weeks, and he said, what's the number one thing you hear people say? And my answer to him was, it depends on the neighborhood. And what I realized, as Reverend Henderson was talking, is that it's because of what he said, and it's something that I talk about a lot. Everybody has a different problem, but underlying that problem is a loss of trust between the citizens and City Hall. There's a lot of reasons for that. But until we address that central concern, which is that people don't feel listened to, that people don't feel that their problems are being addressed and that their concerns are being met, I'm not sure how much progress we can make on other things that are vitally important, like jobs and workplace development, because the relationship itself is in need of transparency and communication and listening.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Jones.
Well, you know, obviously, everybody wants the jobs. We want a good economy. But in terms, I'm going to answer your question in terms of what can I really do as a member of a team on the commission. Well, I got to be on that team. There's a book written by Rebecca Ryan called Live First, Work Second, The Mind of the Millennial. It was written in 2008. But
would you look at me?
But it makes a pretty good 2016 read. And it talks about how in this modern economy, one of the things I think we have to do is really truly develop our city as the place that people want to live, people want to work, and people want to play. I spent some time as a part of my work travels in Phoenix a couple of years ago, and nobody from Phoenix is from Phoenix. They're from someplace else. And I'm like, well, why did you come here? Well, because I could afford the house, because it had good restaurants, and because it was a great place to play. I think we need the spotlight on Paducah because I think we have those things, and I think that would be my job as commissioner. Thank you.
I believe we need to start with believing in ourselves and having a positive can-do attitude about what we can achieve here. When people move to this community, they love it. They find it as a welcoming community, a welcoming home for them. And I know of people who have turned down promotions to stay here in this community to raise their family. And sometimes I think we just don't celebrate ourselves enough and the great things that we have going on here. We may not be a perfect community, but we have a lot. And we have proven that we can do things ourselves. We don't have to rely on what other people are doing at the state or federal government. If we want something done in this community, we go out and do it. And that speaks volumes for what our people are. We have generous people that live here, and I think one thing that we could start with is believing in ourselves.
Thank you. Ms. Wilson.
Carlos. I know that's a long list to get through before you come back around here. What is there new to say? I have plenty of new to say. Goodness grief, this is such a great panel of people because we all probably agree in this room that every single thing stated is exactly what is needed for Paducah. You know, someone running to be at the helm of the city, I'll say this. I firmly believe that we need a solid 10 to 20 year plan that our citizens believe in and that we can all get behind. And I'll tell you the number one reason for this. We all talk about fiscal responsibility and our concern for the way our taxpayer dollars are being spent. And I know that one of the ways that we can solve that problem is by having that solid 10 to 20 year plan that we all believe in. And that is what holds us accountable to the way we spend our dollars. It's what gives us a true vision for where we're headed. Because right now what I'm afraid of is that we're making decisions right in front of our eyes and we're not looking 10 to 20 years out in front of us. And so that is the thing that I think is needed most. And then let's get back to the inclusion conversation because that is definitely number two in my eyes. And it will get us to that long-term 10 to 20 year vision.
Okay, thank you. The next question, and Richard Abraham, you'll have the first shot at this one. In recent years, the city of Paducah, despite its many assets, has not been very successful in attracting new businesses to town. This is especially true in the past 2 years. There's only been one job recruitment, and that was all of 25 jobs. How big a problem is this, and what can be done that isn't being done now to help turn it around?
Well, a municipal can do so much. Some of the talk that I've heard is about thinking maybe sometimes you have to think out the box. We have the city and the county uses taxpayer dollars for the Greater Paducah Economic Development Council. Scott Darnell and the fellas over there and ladies, they do a great job. When you talk about recruiting businesses, it's a lot of moving parts. Some of the things as mentioned earlier, you know, there's always a list, and we make a short list and we don't quite bring it home. That's economic development in a nutshell. You land some and you lose some, and we've lost a few. So I think collectively you get the brain trust together. You sit down, you look at what you've done in the past, what we can do differently to try to bring those jobs here, and you do that by bringing new ideas in, not looking at what you've done before, but kind of changing some things.
Thank you. Mr. Ben.
When I worked in economic development, I actually spent about a year and a half helping companies look around the country on where they want to actually build new facilities and bring jobs. And seeing this from the perspective of the company, I see where there's things that we can work on. Basically, what companies do is they'll make a weighted spreadsheet and consider all kinds of different variables, from tax structure to power cost to property use to potential employees, and we could spend all day on those lists. And then they'll compare regionally and based on population a couple dozen places and weigh it and then shrink it down to two or three and decide where they're going to go. In our case, there's two things that need to happen. First of all, while the economic group is great, getting new jobs and getting business is everyone's responsibility at the city level. And the reason why is if a company decides their most important things are related to other departments other than economic development, everyone needs to understand that this is job one, making this happen. And that's the first key. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Quinn.
I think that Paducah has got all the things in place to be able to shine. I think what is missing is a certain amount of infrastructure that can be put into place, but I also think we have a wonderful resource in our back pocket. If you look at a map of the United States, right in the center there's Paducah, and if you go, you look where we are, we're tucked into all these inland waterways. The river has been the source of Paducah's birth, and it's death in 1937, and its revival with a lot of it was the first industry, marineways. We have got now a designation as a foreign trade zone, a duty-free port. That is huge. With the opening up of the Tennessee-Tombigbee Waterway and the Mississippi River, we are the northernmost ice-free port in the United States. We need to have importing and exporting and grow our businesses that way.
Thank you. Reverend Henderson.
I think that, first of all, what has to take place is that we have to create an atmosphere for new businesses. We have to create an atmosphere for growth. And in creating that atmosphere, I think the first thing that has to happen is that we have to work diligently to tear down the wall or to tear down the perception that is out there that Paducah only wants certain kinds of businesses. I think we have to have conversation. We have to sit down and talk about some things. And in that conversation, I think that what we need to talk about is what kind of incentives can we offer. It's kind of like, how bad do you want me? How bad do you need it? How bad do you want it? And then I think we have to ask ourselves the question, what can we do that we have never done before? We have to be tomorrow thinkers. And so that means that we have to do some things that we've not done before. We have to make some adjustments that we've never made before, but that comes in creating that kind of atmosphere for growth and for new businesses.
Thank you. Ms. Holland.
Yeah, so what I talk about a lot is the next generation of leadership, and as somebody from a different generation than most of the people running for city commission, I think that we need to move past the idea that one big employer is going to come in here like USEC and save Paducah and pump in all these jobs. That's not the global economy we live in anymore. It just isn't. And I think that we need to start thinking about our economy like you would a portfolio, and that needs to be diverse. And it's not maybe going to just be one big plant. Maybe it's going to be this small employer and this small employer. And we're going to build a diverse, adaptable, and more dependable in the long run economy that will employ a diverse population, a diverse skill set, so that we're not just dependent on one type of workforce development. These dang millennials, they always want to rewrite the script, and I think that that's what we need to do here.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Okay. Well, all right, if we look at what's happening in Atlanta, if we look at what's happening in Portland, we look at what's happening in St. Louis, you're going to be sick of the words bikeable, walkable. And when I say bikeable, walkable, I'm not talking, first of all, it's not my desire to get on a bike and ride it 40 miles tomorrow. I'm not bikeable, walkable because I necessarily want more opportunities for recreation. I'm bikeable, walkable because I see Paducah and the size of Paducah and the shape of Paducah, and I see, hey, this would be pretty easy to make campus light. I'm not talking next year, but I'm talking over the next 15 years. We do something like that, all of a sudden, everybody wants, it's like what she said. They want to live here already. You add that to it, and they really want to live here. I would add, we heard this morning some of the reasons why somebody didn't come, and I think we need more transparency of that. It does help to know why people reject us. Makes me a better boyfriend sometimes when I know why somebody would do it. I at least know what to work on. So I think we hear the successes, but we need to hear the transparency of the failures. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
This may be on the fringe of the time frame you mentioned, but these are some companies that people probably don't even know are in Paducah. They've located here in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Whitehall, Genova, Teletech, H.T. Hackney did a big expansion. Both of our hospitals have been hiring, CSI, Dippin' Dots, H.B. Fuller have been hiring, our river industry. Our Riverport just received the Foreign Trade Zone designation, a national award for container on barge. Our DOE site, we have replaced those jobs. We fought in D.C. with the Department of Energy to make sure that the next contract was much longer than a 3-year one in order to give the people that are working at that site, 1,600 plus, some stability with a 5-year contract and a 3-year and a 2-year extension. We also have to, we just have to keep home growing our own while we are actively recruiting across this country and across this nation for people to move here. My time's up.
When you say Genoa, I believe I had a conversation with the city commission or the city finance director. He said the city is losing money on Teletech. Sorry, Teletech. That they are not paying their taxes, and that the deal was not such a good deal for Paducah. We brought in some jobs, but there's about $200,000 a year that we're not getting from there.
Thank you, Ms. Harvest.
I think about the shrinking population of Paducah, and that starts to concern me quite a bit, because the reality is that with 25,000 people or less, we don't compete that well for those jobs that we're all looking for. A lot of times companies are looking at population size, and yes, we can make a great argument that we are a regional hub, and that is absolutely incredible, which is why regionalism is something that I think is very, very important for our future. The 8 counties that make up the purchase area are 210,000 people in those 8 counties. And so Paducah has always been the leader in the region, and we have to stand up and bring all those people together to the same table and start having this conversation, especially in our river industry. The river industry is ready and willing and able for us to take that more regional approach. The river counties are starting that process, and we've got to get on board as the regional leader and make sure that we're the ones leading that charge and recruiting those companies into our region.
Ms. Kaler.
The model that we have used in the past when we've recruited industry to Paducah is You basically buy the jobs because, you know, these large companies want incentives to come to your community. So we can no longer use that model. We don't have the money to hand out bribes anymore for big companies to come here, use the money up, and then leave us. We need to work with our local companies, with our local businesses, to ensure that their businesses can grow, that they can hire more people, that we can increase opportunities for entrepreneurship, that we can increase opportunities for innovation with our jobs, with our opportunities here in Paducah. And to me, that's the future of the growth of jobs in the city of Paducah.
We'll move on to our next question, and this is somewhat related. While recent data reports a boost in the 25 to 35-year-old population, Paducah has suffered a 5% population decline since 2000, and going back further, you can see a steady loss of population over the past 50 years. How does the city reverse this trend? And we'll start with Mr. Bennett.
Thank you. A lot of times economically, you'll hear people refer to this as a bucket with holes, where what we're actually having happen is for our population to grow, especially among talented people, you have to be able to get enough jobs to go from when you graduated from college to retirement and to prosper and move up in your career as you go. What keeps happening to us is that everybody reaches a point where they can't expand to their next highest tier of job without leaving this community, and that's the thing we have to fix. The average person in our economy now will have 7 jobs between when they leave college and when they choose to retire. We have to have enough different jobs available in different career paths so that you can go through that entire process from beginning to end and get all those promotions while in Paducah, and then we can actually curve the tide of that. Because what's happening right now is that whether it's job 2 or job 6, eventually people are leaving a point where they can't continue to promote without leaving this economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Quinn.
Look at the vacant lots on the south side of Paducah. Nothing's going into them. We need to have an aggressive neighborhood revitalization program, and it needs to be, it can't be a cookie cutter from a lower town to a Fountain Avenue. You've got to take that from the grassroots up. It's messy because people are going to have different ideas, and not force it from the top down. That means engaging with the citizens, and I do think that the current commission has not engaged citizens on this issue as much as it should have. I will promise that I will engage citizens, and we will try to come up with a plan to get rid of those vacant lots and fill them up with something good. Mixed-use development, land use strategies are available for those. You just got to build the incentives in. Now, I'll tell you, if you have a vacant lot, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if you have something on it worth property taxes of $2,000 versus $10,000, you've made money. If you
may, I have that.
Thank you, Ann. I would just like to say we have extensively involved the citizens of the neighborhoods that we go into. The neighborhood I live in, Lower Town, that was the brainchild of a resident that lived in Lower Town that was tired of the slumlords and the drug deals on the corner. And he's the one that went to the mayor and said, let's do something about this. When we went to Fountain Avenue, we engaged the citizens before we even began that process. So, yes, we do.
Thank you. I'll put Mayor back on the clock, and we'll go to Reverend Henderson.
Yes. As you know, I pastor the Washington Street Church, and over the past few years, our church has experienced a decline in young adults. And one of the reasons that we've experienced a decline in young adults is that those young adults have to leave Paducah in order to find lucrative employment. And I think they leave every weekend to go to Nashville, to go to St. Louis, to go to Louisville, to find entertainment, to find things that they can't find in Paducah. And so I think that as we talk about being tomorrow thinkers, or at least as I'm talking about being a tomorrow thinker, we have to find ways to engage that young adult group in the city of Paducah where they can find have ownership, but they have to know that they're going to have lucrative employment. They have to know that perhaps they can be the CEO. They have to know that, and right now they don't.
Thank you. Ms. Holland?
So I like to think that I'm uniquely qualified to answer this question because I did choose to come back to Paducah after my husband and I, well, my husband's not from Paducah, but after I left to go to college and I got married and I lived in Washington, D.C., and I chose to come back and make a life here. And the reason I did was a lot of reasons that I think we could offer other people high quality of life with a low cost of living. I like to tell people my husband and I played a game when we came back called, "You're never going to believe what I paid for this," after living in Washington, D.C. for several years. So I think that we have a lot to offer, but if you think about it, my husband and I represent the changing economy. He is a lawyer. He's in the service economy. I am a freelancer, so I'm in the gig economy. That's how our economy is changing. And so we have to think about where those jobs are, who are the people filling the jobs in our changing economy, and how do we appeal to those people? We have a lot to offer freelancers and service economy, especially young families who want to live in Paducah, who want a low cost of living, great public schools, and a great standard of life.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
All right, so you know, I think you have to mix with that. At the same time, the county hasn't grown, but it hasn't lost population. And I think you have to go back to a fundamental question of, well, why do you live in the city now? I mean, we're no longer at war with the Indians, so we don't gather there for protection from them. You know, the county has plumbing. The county has electricity. So some of the reasons that historically you would naturally want to live in the city are gone. So what are those? We have to ask ourselves, what are the reasons that we want to live in the city now? Well, I agree with you. We've got this great riverfront. We've got some great things. But if you live in Keville, you can experience the riverfront. You can still drive to it. So I'm back to bikeable, walkable again, aren't I? One of the reasons to live in the city is that we have this unique way of being able to connect from our driveway and our front door to our cool things and thus become that cool city. So there. I made it all the way back.
Ms. Wilson.
We have seen, as you've mentioned, the resurgence of some of our young professionals coming back. And 4 years ago when I ran, that was something I absolutely talked about. And I named several people, including my daughter, that I hoped and prayed would come back here. And we're seeing that happen. They've bought houses, they're buying into businesses, and they're bringing having families here. So I think that we need to continue to do the things that would build amenities here that will attract young professionals. We have a new young professionals organization with 175 members in it that are networking together, building their careers together, and they absolutely could be used to help bring other people here. Did we have maybe a lost generation of people that moved away and didn't come back? And how sad is that? And now some of their families are possibly moving to be back with them. The population decline is something that just is surprising and startling when you drive around the city and you see all of the building and all the growth from buildings that you would see going on.
Thank you. Ms. Harless.
So I think back to when Jeff Speck came to town. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw him. He wrote the book Walkable Cities. And one of the things that he observed about Paducah was we were ripe for two types of people. People who wanted to retire and young people who wanted to take chances and start businesses. And I think he was right on. You know, the millennial generation, the ages 25 to 34 that we're mentioning, just outgrew the baby boomers. I don't know if anyone saw that this summer, but they did. And mayors across the country who are in that generation are being elected by cities our size, and they are doing a tremendous job of recruiting their peers back to their cities. Because when you look back home and you see that your population that you loved so dearly has elected a young mayor just like you to lead that city, then you are more confident that you're going to have a like-minded person who is putting those things into place that everyone has mentioned on this panel to make it your quality of life the thing that you're looking for. So that's why I am running for mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly.
What was the question?
I mean, when population decline.
Population decline.
Well, you know, population decline is a phenomenon across the country. It's not unique to Paducah. It's not unique to McCracken County. All smaller communities especially are seeing that population decline. And a lot of it is just because people aren't having as many babies. I mean, people are having fewer children today. My daughter and son-in-law have one child. So, you know, people today understand the great expense of having children. I don't think as many people have children today. Not that that's the total reason that we have a population decline here. If I knew the answer to that, you know, I could win the million-dollar question, and I don't think any of us have a handle on that, why that is happening, why that phenomenon is happening. I don't think having a young mayor is going to make a difference. As I said this morning, I'm a young thinker. I don't think you have to be young to think young.
Thank you. Mr. Abraham.
When you talk about population decline, that's a challenge. What we've tried to do on the council is when you look at revitalization, when you look at what happened in Lower Town, when you look at what's going on presently at Fountain Avenue, the last few houses that's being built there, folks just wanted to come there and build a house. Why? Because that neighborhood does not look the same when I grew up in that neighborhood. So we use that as a tool. When you look at the investment, $13 million in that, that's not Nashville, that's not St. Louis, but that's not bad for a town our size. We are a unique community. We're a tale of two cities. We have the retail, and we have the homegrown restaurants and businesses downtown. So it's a challenge, and we have to look at different ways to encourage people to come back to Paducah to move into our inner cities.
Thank you.